Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We have been able to reach Mfundisi. Oh, Mfundisi, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Lovely, lovely, Mfundisi. Thank you very much. This is Pastor Clifford Ntlapo joining us on the line to give us some perspective. I do apologize for all the delays, Mfundisi. We have been having technical glitches on our side, and I'm sorry. Please send my apologies to ma'am. I realize ma'am had to move from upstairs to downstairs to give you the phone. I'm so sorry for that, Mfundisi. I do apologize for that. All right. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is the doctrine of the Trinity essential for the salvation?
Oh, that's a wonderful question.
Yes.
Perhaps my opening line should be, without the Trinity, without the what I call the salvific collaboration of the three members of the Godhead, often referred to as the Trinity, salvation is an impossibility.
Okay.
And so the doctrine is doctrine number two in our foundational, you know, teachings of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Right.
The Trinity. Now, it is very important to remind ourselves, who is the Trinity?
Right.
What is the Trinity? Yes. Now, the Trinity, now drawing from the understanding of the Adventist Church that I represent proudly, the Trinity is a unity of three co-eternal persons, all playing different divine roles, but with one ultimate goal.
Right.
The goal of the Trinity is to point and to guide and to lead humanity to salvation.
Okay.
So without the workings of the Trinity, salvation really is just a mirage, really. It's an unattainable dream.
Right. So without the Trinity, there is no salvation. Is that what the pastor is saying?
Without the Trinity, look, on one hand, you have the doctrine itself. Now, the doctrine is not going to save anyone. The doctrine is a platform. The doctrine is a vehicle.
Right.
Is a subject matter.
Right.
It is not as important as what it represents.
Right.
It represents three divine persons who share the same attributes, who have one exclusive, one specific purpose.
Right.
And that is to save humanity and to guide humanity to salvation.
Okay.
Without the three, there's absolutely no salvation to talk about.
So the three are how do you count the three, Mfundisi?
I would count the three as Paul would or chooses to in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, in that benediction that he has shared with us there, when he says the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice Paul chooses not to start off with God the Father your contemporary Bible students would,
right?
Like you and I,
right.
God the Father, God the Son,
right?
And the reason for that should really be that in no particular order.
Yes.
These are equal persons of the Godhead, and they share exactly the same attributes. They share the same characteristics, if you please, as well.
Right.
And therefore, it doesn't really matter which order you would prefer, or designation you prefer
Okay,
when you're speaking of the Trinity itself.
let's follow that train of thought, Mfundisi. We are talking about in no particular order, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, correct?
Correct.
Before the birth of Jesus, was there a Trinity?
Before the birth of Jesus, was there
Yes.
a Trinity?
Yes,
The
before there
Trinity
was
was
even,
there.
yeah.
The Trinity was there, before Genesis 1, verse 1. The Trinity has been there throughout the history of mankind, or biblical history, and before the incarnation took place, in the Synoptic Gospels, in the New Testament, the Trinity was there, and the Trinity was active already
Where do we
from
see the
time
Trinity
immemorial.
before the Synoptic Gospels, which give us some biographical knowledge about Yeshua? If we claim that the child of Mary is the incarnate Christ, Yeshua, before God was incarnate, when was the Son? Where do we see the Son before then?
Where do we see the Son
Yes.
before then?
Yes, Pastor.
Well, we have to go to the book of Genesis,
Okay.
where it all began, the book of origins.
All right.
Right there in the very first chapter of the
Yes.
book of Genesis,
Right.
which begins by, "In the beginning, God created the
Right.
heavens and the earth."
Right.
Now, if you were to read the entire it would immediately identify the Holy Spirit, which was moving, which was moving
Right.
on this figure, shapeless mold that was earth. The Holy Spirit is seen moving right there. All right? And you go down to verse 26,
Yeah.
where there is a divine dialogue,
Right.
and we hear the voice or the word, let us.
Right.
Now, I just said the voice or the word. Now it only says, "And God said,
Right.
let us."
Right.
Now I'm saying we hear the voice of God there. We hear the word of God. John, the book of John, chapter 1, identifies the word and puts a face, a human face,
Well, in
a face that
Genesis 1:26 and 26, it does not mention the voice. It mentions God himself. It doesn't say the word or the voice.
It mentions God himself.
Right.
Now, when you
Then
say
God said,
himself,
right.
correct. When you say God said, you have to speak in context
Right.
of the Trinity. It is not. It doesn't say, "And God the Father said." It
Right.
doesn't say, "God the Holy Spirit said."
Right.
It doesn't say, "God the Son said."
Yes.
And the reason for that is, within our understanding of the Godhead of or the Trinity, is that the dialogue, the divine dialogue that takes place in that passage, is of the three.
Where do we get the
It is.
number
It is. It
three?
doesn't. Where do we get the three?
The number three. I
The Bible.
understand
The
it, when you read it
Bible
in
in
the
the book of
Hebrew,
Genesis.
it says the Elohim, which is Eloha would be singular, Elohim would be plural. I understand. No problem with the plurality there. And that's why it says let us, implying that there is a plurality there. I have no problem with that. But what I'm trying to establish is how do we narrow it down to just three? This plurality, how do we know it's just three?
Yes. Well, the Bible has been consistent with the workings of the three. We cannot reduce that to two. We cannot reduce that to one.
Where do we get the number three, Infinitus? I understand. I have no problem with the insistence that it's three, but do we have any biblical basis to base our insistence of three?
Well, let's look at John chapter 1, for instance.
Okay.
The baptism of Christ.
Okay.
The baptism of Christ. I think scholars have battled with the concept of numbers. And the Adventist understanding has steered away from numbers. Where do we get it mentioned, the number three mentioned?
Right. For us to insist on the Trinity.
Steered away from that. But what we see there in the book of John chapter 1,
right,
for instance, the baptism of Jesus. John is baptizing these folks at the river, at Jordan, and Jesus walks up to him. That's one member of the Godhead walking up to John to be baptized.
At that point, he's not identified. That,
no, Jesus. We only see Jesus there.
I understand.
We only see Jesus walking up to John, the baptizer, to baptize him.
Well, John doesn't identify him as part of the Godhead. He identifies him as the Lamb of God.
Correct. Correct. You are absolutely correct. John does not, he doesn't say, there comes the Messiah. There comes the third member of the Godhead.
Right.
He does not say, not identify him as such. It is correct to say he identifies him as Lamb.
Right.
And you find that in the way Jesus identified.
I'm sorry, Infinitus, you got cut there. No. Say that again, please.
I'm saying you're correct. He identifies him as the Lamb,
right,
of God that takes of the world.
Yeah.
That is consistent with Revelation chapter 5, for instance, where Jesus is identified as the Lamb. That is okay. But now within that baptism experience, we then again hear the voice of God. This is my son, he declares. And when Jesus ascends, when he rises from the water, then see the dove. We see the Holy Spirit in an image of a dove. Now, three persons right there. The Holy Spirit descending, the ascension of Christ from the water. We hear the voice of the Father. Again, what I would even call a strategic partnership, a salvific collaboration.
I have no problem with that, Infinitus, but you seem to be restricting it to just three. I'm trying to establish where do we get the biblical basis to restrict the numerical value three? Why do we restrict it to only three?
I think passages like Acts chapter 1, for instance,
right,
where Jesus says, I'm going to the Father.
Right.
Now that's one member of the Godhead speaking. I'm going back to the Father in chapter 1, who has just identified the second person of the Godhead. Then he says, do not leave Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit gets here. So hang around here, stay here until he gets here. We have not, throughout biblical history, at the reading, the understanding, the interpretation of the, at least of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, has not suggested that there is a fourth member, a fifth member of the Godhead, other than the many, many passages that testify to three members of the what we call sometimes the Godhead, what others refer, even ourselves, sometimes refer to as the Trinity. And the reason for that is we have not yet identified or found evidence of fourth or fifth or more members of the Godhead. It has always been the three. And from that understanding and interpretation, we have developed what we call a doctrine, and that is doctrine number two within the foundational
principles. I understand. I understand him from this. Okay, let me try. This is one of my last question, and then I'll let this one go from this. When we are talking about scripture, this concept of a Trinity, it does not pre-exist Jesus. It's a Christian phenomenon. It is not an entirely biblical phenomenon.
Yes.
This number three is a number that flows from the Great Commission, where Jesus himself says, in the name, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But before that, then, there is no reference to the number three. Is it not correct? That
there is no...
Even...
Okay, now you just said there is no reference to the number three.
Right, right.
There's no reference to the number three.
Yeah, of beings to be venerated. It is Jesus, only Jesus, who introduces us to three persons to be venerated, three persons in whose name we are to be baptized, right?
Right.
So before then, there's never been a Trinity, and this idea of a Trinity pre-existing Jesus is not necessarily biblical. It's a new phenomenon that is post Yeshua and also dependent on Christian theology, not necessarily on actual history, is it?
If it was mentioned by Jesus and pre his declaration of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, if it is Jesus that introduces that, that is good enough for my salvation.
Not a problem, Fundis. I have no problem with that.
That is good enough. The fact that it is a theology that the Christian community, whether Adventist or Catholic or otherwise, has built a doctrine around, that is okay. That's a human invention. But if it is Christ himself who introduces and initiates the designating of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is enough for salvation.
I understand.
In other words,
I have
your
no problem
question
with that.
Is,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the question, the subject for today is not whether or not the Trinity pre-exists, you know, was there before the...
It's whether it's essential for salvation.
That is not the subject matter for today. The subject matter for today is, does the doctrine of Trinity, in other words, is it sufficient for our salvation?
Is it essential?
Is salvation outside of that doctrine?
And the reason why we spoke about life before Christ, life before the third person, which is Christ, is that would we be wrong to say then those people who lived before there was a Christ, there was no Jesus in whose name they would be baptized in? Quite frankly, before then, there was no baptism at all.
Yeah, well, we can only base our response on the printed word, on what the Bible has taught us. In other words, if the name Jesus is not there in the Old Testament,
yes,
if we do not see a baptism in the name of Jesus in the Old Testament,
Yes. Or any kind of baptism for that matter.
and only see that in the New Testament with
Right.
John, for instance.
Right.
Yes, our we would deduce that baptism may have been there before. It may not appear in the canonized books, including those books that we don't normally quote. It is not mentioned there, but it does not mean it was not there. The fact that Christ is not mentioned does not mean he was not there.
Okay.
We can only speak now about baptism, for instance, in the
right.
name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, using the model that
right.
John gives us
right.
In the New Testament. Now, if one were to then ask me, was there baptism before that? If there was, in whose name was that baptism? I would say the printed page, the holy writings may not reveal that to us. But
Mfundis, are you still there, or did we just lose you? Okay, I think I'll.
Can you hear me?
I can now. I can now, Mfundis. Go ahead, Mfundis.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes. Now, I was just saying, perhaps in summary, the question of baptism in the Old Testament,
right?
And if there was a baptism, in whose name was that baptism?
Right.
I would say the fact that we do not read about Jesus in the Old Testament and a baptism in his name in the Old Testament does not necessarily mean it was not there. But I'm not going to stand behind a pulpit.
Yeah.
And with authority speak about a baptism in the Old Testament when the Holy Scriptures does not speak about it.
Okay.
When the Bible is silent about it, when the spirit of prophecy is silent about it.
Right.
I will stand behind that pulpit and shout aloud the baptism that John the Baptist initiated.
Right.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what I would do.
Okay.
I believe there are many, many things that are there in the Old Testament that are not recorded for our consumption. And if you read the Sabbath school lesson last night, it said perhaps we should not concern ourselves with what we do not know. We should concern ourselves with the little that we know and
okay.
make a big deal out of that.
Got
and
it.
And that would be my response. Christ is there in the Old Testament. His name, Yeshua, or whichever name that, we may speak of, may not be mentioned there. But I believe the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus himself were there in the Old Testament as well.
Got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day further.
Blessings.
All right. That's our pastor for today. We really appreciate his time and insights and patience. Pastor Clifford and Ndlapo talking to us.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.